Welcome to the Heartbreak Kids podcast, where we explore what connects us all in our yoga practice and in our lives. This is where I talk to people about their stories, who they are, what they've been through, and where they're going. And in this podcast, that's what we explore. I believe deep down inside, we're all connected, which explains why we bring ourselves to the top of our mat every day. Welcome to the Heartbreak Kids. So welcome to the next edition of the Heartbreak Kids. I'm here with Sarah Nelson. And Sarah recently started yoga, and she started coming to Ashtanga Yoga Columbus. And I feel like we immediately had a connection. You know, like you came to one of our socials, and I got to meet your partner, and I got to like hang out with you guys, and I got to like really experience like how funny you guys were, especially together. I think you guys are even more funny. And so like you immediately like fell into like our crew, you know, into the squad, like we like to say. And so it's been really kind of like a pleasure to kind of like see you kind of grow. And I know that you have like a story to tell, and you know, like now you're part of like the Trinity Foundation scholarship program. Mm-hmm. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about all of that stuff and everything in between. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%.
All right, so why don't you tell us just a little bit about yourself? Like, where are you from? Columbus?
I am not from Columbus. I'm from the Buckeye Lake area, which is like 40 minutes from here. I ended up in Columbus. I've been here for 10 years because I went to Otterbein College. So I just kind of showed up here.
Oh, cool.
To go to school, and I've stayed here.
So when did you graduate college?
2011.
Okay, and what did you study?
Music.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
What's your favorite kind of music?
So I play trumpet, which is not my favorite kind of music.
Okay.
But that's what I was.
I mean, you can only play like jazz and marching band with that, right?
You can play symphonic stuff.
Okay.
That's like what I liked doing. I liked doing like the really classical style stuff that like had a lot of expression behind it, I guess. So
cool.
I don't play anymore, but I really liked it when I was there.
You gave it up.
Yeah.
Why?
I just kind of fell out of love with it. School does that to you sometimes, I guess. Practice for too long and it just became a chore. So
yeah, it's like the guitar player, it's like like you rub your fingers raw and then all of a sudden it's like they callus over and you're like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah,
it's too bad.
I know. Yeah, for sure.
So much practice.
Yeah,
I mean, it's the same for our yoga practice too. It's like it's so much work.
Yeah,
you know, that people fall off of it too, which we'll get to.
It's very, very similar for sure.
So let's talk a little bit about your family. And so you came from the Buckeye Lake area. Tell us a little about your mom and dad.
So my dad is an auto mechanic.
Okay.
He has his own business. He actually owns a few in the area. So he has his own shop right behind like our childhood house that he works out of.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
So he's done that like pretty much his entire life. And yeah, he's like my primary parent.
Okay.
My mom and dad divorced when I was pretty young. I was in third grade.
Wow, that is pretty young.
Yeah, I was like really young for it. So yeah.
How did that affect you?
I think honestly at the time I was probably really excited because you get like two birthdays, two Christmases. From two different households.
Like, I'm not laughing, but I mean, I've experienced kind
it's
of the
like,
same thing.
You're just kind of like, okay, this could be really cool.
Yeah.
Like, my mom ended up moving way closer to most of my friends, too. So I got an opportunity to see my friends more often.
Okay. And so, you stayed with her, like, on the weekends?
Just on the weekends.
Okay.
I was with my dad during the week.
And they both lived in Buckeye Lake?
Pretty close.
Okay.
Yeah, they're both in that area. So,
gotcha.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Was there feelings around, like, you know, like the separation besides, like, just being happy to have two birthdays?
Yeah, I mean, I have an older sister who's 13 years older than I am.
Okay.
So she was in college at the time that happened. So I think that it was sad because, like, I was sad because my sister was so sad about it.
Yeah, that seems like an age that it would kind of, like, it feels a little bit more like a split.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very prominent. I mean, especially now because she's like in her 40s and mm-hmm. I'm like just in my late 20s. Like
right.
She has like teenage kids. I have zero kids. It's like a huge divide.
Yeah.
So,
And are you close with your sister?
I think that we have gotten closer as we get older. We don't see each other very often.
Okay.
But I I feel like we are. Okay. Like I could go to her with anything that I needed, gotcha. Or she could do the same for me. So at least I hope she knows that. So
now she does.
Yeah.
If she listens. So let's talk about your dad. Like, so your dad was like kind of like the, I don't know, maybe head of the house, maybe that, to describe it that way. But he was your primary caregiver.
Yeah, for sure. My mom worked, but she was primarily like a stay-at-home mom. Okay. She did do like some stuff where she was like an aide in nursing homes and stuff for a while.
Okay.
But she didn't do that for very long. And then she worked kind of odd jobs after they got divorced.
Okay.
But she was like a very, very weird person. Yeah. I don't know. She was very interesting. She was like a severe alcoholic, like horrible. And I think that's part of the reason that they got divorced.
And so that's why your dad stepped into the, like, I mean.
That's why he's like my primary caregiver.
It. Okay, that makes
sense. Yeah, so like he was the very stable one. He had the business.
Okay.
Like very level head on his shoulders. And my mom just wasn't like present for that. She wasn't able to do that. I just stayed with her on the weekends.
And okay. Is it safe to stay with her?
Looking back on it, no. I definitely should not have been staying there. And I think that like my dad knew that and my sister knew that. But I like wanted to see her so badly.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, you wanted a relationship with her, right?
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah. And it was just like her house was way more fun. She had like fun games. She had a game room. We had like all these dogs. It was awesome. Like I said, she was like really close to all my friends and my school, so it was really fun for me to be there. I remember like when I had to go back to my dad's house, I would cry for like hours because I hated going to my dad's house because he was like the like authoritative dad. Right.
Structure was
super
there.
Structured, yeah. Like, and I just was like not wanting that. I just wanted to have fun with my mom and like go out and eat and
Well, and so are you like, I mean, is your personality like your mother's or is your personality more like your dad?
I think at this point in my life, my personality is becoming more like my dad's.
Okay.
I think that like my teenage and college self was very much like my mom.
Okay.
Very just kind of like on a whim, free spirit, doing whatever it wanted to do, basically, without, like, considering consequences.
Gotcha.
So.
And so, I mean, that gives us, like, a perfect lead-in, or at least to talk a little bit about, like, kind of maybe drug use and stuff like that. And so, did you mimic, like, her behavior that she was doing?
Yeah, for sure. She actually, when I was young still, I was in, like, eighth grade. She was like supposed to come pick me up from this dance when I was in middle school one night and like just never showed up, like didn't come and get me. So my dad had to come and get me. The next day we went to her house. She just wasn't there. So we just were like, okay, she's gone. Like, I have no idea where she is. It's like really worrisome.
Yeah.
You know, it's scary. And then like we didn't hear from her for a little while. And then we like finally she like called us and she was, and this is how I remember it. And it might be, if you ask my dad, it might be totally different.
Right.
But this is like my eighth grade self remembering this is like she called us and she was in jail somewhere like North Carolina or something like that. Mm-hmm. Because she had been driving down the wrong side of the road because she was drunk.
But she was in North Carolina.
Yeah. She was, like, chasing this guy that she had been, like, living with for a long time.
Okay.
And he had moved down there. It was, like, a big thing. And she was, like, apparently going down there to, like, live with him. Just, like, on a drunken whim or something.
And so did, like, the rose-colored lenses of your, like, how you viewed your mom, did it change after that point?
It did, only because I became, like, resentful of her. Like, I was, like, mad at her. For a long time, like actively while she was gone, I was very mad at her. And then she would like call me and try to like be very preachy to me, like very religious about how she had like found God and stuff. And that made me super resentful about that.
Yeah.
I was like,
resentful about God or resentful about like
both,
how
like,
she was
her like trying to like tell me how to live, even though she had done all this crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And then her being like, anything that she would like want to believe in at that time, I was just like, why would I even care about that?
Yeah.
You're such a like screwed up person.
Yeah, or I mean, I could see like looking at her and be like, you don't even know what the frick you're talking about, you know? Like, you don't even know.
You have no idea what you're talking about. So she was gone for a while. And then I went into high school, and then she like miraculously just came back to Ohio one day. But she was like,
so she moved away.
She moved. She was gone for like a year or two.
Oh man.
And then she just like,
this is after that event.
After all that, yeah.
After all that, she just stayed down
there. She just stayed there because that guy was living down there. Okay. So they were, like, there together.
Gotcha.
And then, like, later I found out that they were, like, living in a tent somewhere. Like, it was, like, really a bad situation. But I only knew that because I found a bunch of letters that she had gotten from, like, that guy that she was with.
Gotcha.
After she moved back here.
Wow.
It's nuts.
Yeah. And so, like, you know, did you continue to have, like, resentments, you know, as like you went into high school and college and stuff like that? I mean, when was this, I mean, or have you cleaned it up, like your relationship with her now?
Well, she came back and she was like extremely ill. She was like super sick. She came back and she like literally looked like a skeleton. Like she was so sick. And she was here for, like, she came in the summer of my freshman year, I think. And then she actually passed away in October of my freshman year.
Oh, man.
So it was, like, really nuts. It happened super fast.
Right.
And she basically, like, had drank herself to death. Like, she had liver cirrhosis and her entire, like, body, like, shut down. So it was just, like, years of, like, drinking and, like, drug abuse, like, super caught up with her.
Yeah.
And, like, not just not taking care of herself.
Gotcha.
So that was, like, how I, like, brought in my freshman year of high school like that. And
that
like,
had been really hard.
It was, but like at the same time, I was still so mad that I was just kind of like, okay, I'm here and present for this and I understand what's going on, but it still makes me just that mad. That.
And you're mad because of just like what she did to herself and also just like your relationship too?
Yeah, I mean, it was like that and like things like my sister had just had her first kid. She'd probably had her second child at that point, and, like, they were babies. You know, like, they never got to meet her mother. And I, like, that's, like, devastating for, like, you know, like, a daughter.
Sure.
You know, that's, like, really sad. So I felt, like, really bad for her on that. And, like, myself as well. Like, I feel like I got, like, things that in my future, like, you know, you think your, like, mom's going to be there for your wedding or...
Right.
She's just not there. I think I was just super resentful about that at the time, but... I luckily, like, had a very, like, awesome friend group that had, like, amazing, strong mothers and women behind them. So they kind of, like, took me in. And, like, my best friend's mom was, like, is, like, my mom now. So it was really cool. Yeah. And my dad had started dating this, like, amazing woman. And she was, like, basically in my life from, like, 13 until like very recently, and she was like my stepmom for like a long time, and she had a daughter, and she's like my little sister now still, so it's like really cool.
Yeah,
that part of it actually ended up turning around. I think that like propelled me into a better direction with it.
Yeah. And so are you still angry at your mom?
No, I get it at this point. Like, I understand it just because like I have like lived in those shoes, kind of. Like, it's hard to turn away from something so powerful.
As
like addictive behavior, especially when it comes to like being codependent with another person in that situation. Like with your partner.
Yeah, it's very hard.
It's really hard, and I totally get it. And I like feel bad that I wish it was like happening. I don't want to say that I wish it was happening now, but I wish I was in a place to be able to do something for her.
Yeah.
You know, where that anyone would have been. Yeah. So I just feel like sad for her.
Yeah. It's also hard to even help someone who really wants to get help too.
100%.
Yeah. I mean, if they don't want to get help, it's even harder.
Yeah.
You know?
And she definitely didn't. Like, we dropped her off at like, we took her to like rehabs and stuff when I was little. And they just, it just never worked out. Yeah. Like, I remember asking her when I was young, like, to please, like, just, we need to move. We need to get away from this guy that you're with. Like, you need to stop doing this.
Yeah.
Like, I specifically remember that. And then we moved, got away from him, and then it still didn't.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so that was going into your freshman year. Like, so tell me a little bit about like how your like high school, you know, the 4 years of high school went.
High school was like super fun for me.
Why?
Because after that, yeah, because I had like amazing friends during high school. I was in marching band during that, and it was like amazing, and I had so much fun doing that. My band directors ended up being like my family. Like my band director, his name was Mr. Coffee. He was like my like second dad. Like I still talk to him today.
Wow.
He's so amazing. Like he's such a cool person. And he definitely like was like a very light, like a beautiful person to me, I guess, and helped me a lot. Like with myself and as like a student, I guess.
Gotcha.
So yeah, that's he was awesome. I mean, I did that. I was like super involved in extracurricular stuff.
Okay.
I was like a terrible
marching
student.
Band and what?
Yeah.
Marching band and what else? What else were you doing?
Marching band. I did choir. I did drama. I was in like AP English classes.
Okay.
Basically like all of the artsy stuff I was doing.
But you weren't good at math.
Horrible
math.
So bad. It was embarrassing. I'm so bad at it.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. In college, I had to take remedial math like 3 times before I passed it.
Yeah.
Really bad.
I struggle with the English stuff. I'm not so bad at the mathematics stuff.
We can help each other.
It's yeah. Fine. Yeah. Seriously. And so you got out of high school and mm-hmm. you went to college, Otterbein.
Mm-hmm.
And so explain that little that experience with me.
So I went to Otterbein mostly because my stepmom wanted me to go there. That is not where I wanted to go to school.
Where did you want to go?
I wanted to go to Ohio University because their marching band was amazing.
Really?
It still is amazing.
I mean, Ohio State is pretty amazing marching
band. Ohio State has an amazing marching band, but OU, it's a they're two totally
yeah,
different styles.
I get it.
I was just biased at the time. I still am. But,
okay.
I went to Otterbein because I got a great scholarship as well to go there.
You got a scholarship for playing music?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was really cool.
Was it a full ride or a partial ride?
No, it was partial. I don't remember what the amount is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so cool, though.
Yeah, it was cool. So
I mean, and that's actually a really good school, too.
It is a great school.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I mean, it's like maybe top 10 in Ohio, I think.
Yeah. It was super fun. I'm glad that I went there only because, like, I learned a lot about life from there.
Yeah. What do you mean?
When I, like, first got there, I didn't have, like, a ton of friends because, like, I wasn't from that area. And, like, the music program, like, people in the music programs are very, like,
tight-knit,
but, like, it's very, like, superficial in a way because everyone has a huge ego, especially, like, going into school initially. So I like
because they're good at music, right?
Because they're good at what they're doing, so but they're better than everyone else,
okay,
you know.
Okay.
So, so I kind of like struggled making friends, I guess, in the beginning. So, the first weekend that we were there, they were like Greek life, sororities, fraternities. It's huge here because we have no students on this campus. It's like so small. Everybody does this.
Right.
And I was
did
just
you
like,
fit in with that or
oh
no?
Oh my God. I was like, I'm doing this. So like I rushed Greek life. I pledged a sorority and I basically like looking back on it, it was definitely the worst decision I've ever made in my entire life.
Okay.
Was
of
to
being in a sorority.
Yeah. 100%.
Wow.
Because I joined it for all the wrong reasons. I joined it because the one I wanted to be in, they were like the hippie party girls.
Okay.
The ones that like, I saw their letters walking across campus and I was just like, oh my God, I saw that girl at this party last night and I love her so much. I like want to be just like her.
Gotcha.
And I was like idolizing these people because like they were like the party girls, I guess, and I just wanted to be a part of that.
And so you fell in with like the hippie sorority.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
And so, was it the hippie sorority? Or?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
The party girls.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was, I mean, I did make some good friends then.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least like what I thought were good friends at the time. Now looking back on it, I know they weren't. good friends because...
You haven't stayed in contact with any of these
people? No. No, and it's for the better. Honestly, like, at this point, they all are still kind of living the same life that they were then, it seems. Just, like, when I do see them.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah, of course.
Just to, like, be stuck in that constant party mentality. Like, it doesn't seem like many of them have moved on from that.
Yeah. And you were stuck in it.
Oh, super. Yes, intensely.
Okay.
Because I was also dating someone that was in a fraternity.
Okay.
So it was like we were like a Greek life couple.
So you both wore togas?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We dressed up for all the parties. It was like we like were matching. It was like hilarious. But like it made me like think that like partying and alcohol and all that stuff was like the most important thing about being in college.
Gotcha.
So, like, I'm not a good student. I had to work really hard to maintain, like, very average grades.
Yeah.
So, that, like, the partying in college, like, every day drinking before class, waking up at, like, 6 in the morning, going to the bar before homecoming, like, that was, like, what we did.
Yeah.
And it was all the time.
All the time?
It was, like, every night.
Every
that
day?
We were doing that.
Whoa.
It was, like, nuts.
And I mean, how did you even, how'd you get through school then?
I don't know.
I mean, that's like a miracle in itself, right?
And you know, all of those girls did.
They did?
And a lot of them had much more invasive majors than I did, like nursing. Like the nursing program there is huge.
Yeah.
And you have to be like an amazing student to be able to get through that. And they all did.
Wow.
I don't know how anyone passed anything there. Yeah. Like, and I don't know if it's still like that. I would kind of assume it is, just because like that school is so small.
Yeah.
There's not very much to do around there.
No.
You know, like, and that's just like what you do when you go there.
Wow.
At least that was my experience. So yeah, that was college. It was nuts.
Yeah. Sounds like it. And so did you got stuck in that kind of like party? I mean, even like when you got out of college too?
Yeah,
were you still
for
going?
Sure. Yeah. After I got out of school, I started just like working random jobs because you can't really do much with a trumpet major. You don't like go to an office and play trumpet after you get like your bachelor's in that or something.
Yeah.
So,
what do you do with that? I don't really know.
I mean, you could like
play in an orchestra.
Play in an orchestra. I mean, you can become a studio musician if you wanted.
Okay.
You can go a lot of different routes with it.
Okay.
But
you just didn't want to do that.
Truly being in that like killed my passion for it. Like having it be such a regimented thing instead of just like letting it be expressive, like really yeah. killed it for me. So
so you're like a pure jazz person.
Oh my gosh. And no, actually I'm not even like a jazz person.
No?
But my dad and my grandpa are both drummers.
Okay.
And my grandpa was like a huge like a jazz drummer.
Okay.
So I like grew up really respecting and loving that.
Yeah. I just think of like the freedom of expression and like having it be like
mm-hmm.
so all over the place and
yeah.
and like people don't really understand jazz or like
very true.
Yeah, I mean they're like what is happening here?
Yeah.
You know, where it
yeah.
doesn't like kind of fit into how regular songs are or
yeah.
whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So anyways.
I think that like I found expression on like the written music somehow.
Okay.
It was more expressive to me. I don't
okay.
know why. I'm not sure. I can't like speak to that, but
interesting.
That's what I enjoyed doing the most.
And so where'd you go to work then?
So I went and I worked at Panera.
Okay.
For like a long time. I
Which
worked
one?
There forever. The one in Westerville on
okay.
State Street. I worked there for a long time. I just started like as a team member. And then I started doing catering for them. And I worked there for like 5 years.
Yeah.
Maybe 4 years. And in that time, I started dating someone that worked there.
Okay.
And he and I were in a relationship for a very long time, like 7 years. And that was like really interesting. That was definitely like,
why is it interesting?
It was really good. He was an interesting person, someone that I never thought I would ever be with in my life.
Okay. And how so?
Because he was very like pro-gun rights. Very right, I guess,
yeah.
and I was not that.
Okay.
But then I started like being able to see both sides, and I was
sure.
like, okay, get this. Like, I understand why I need to know how to like operate a firearm. That makes sense. Like, I can do that for like self-defense. That
right.
makes total sense. I get it. He also was not a drinker, and he like would like get high, but that's like it.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to go to festivals all the time together.
Music festivals.
Yeah. So okay. Like we would go to music festivals, and that's kind of how like I started going to music festivals a lot.
Because you love them, don't you?
Yeah, I'm like super into it.
Okay.
It's like weird. Like I'm like now I know. I had very screwed up reasons for wanting to go initially. Like, it was mostly, like, a weekend that I could just go and, like, be obliterated.
Yeah.
And, like, I would
just
be, like...
Just so you could get high and just, drunk and all
yeah,
that stuff.
Basically. Like, I do love the music. Like, I am a music person. I love that kind of music. Like, I love jam bands. Like, I love reggae music.
Man,
jam
bands are awesome.
Oh, my God. I'm just into that. It's just so good. And, like, Ohio, we have so many great, like, jam bands and, like, dedicated, like... Like stuff like that. It's just so good.
Yeah, it is good.
But yeah, like I started dating this weird guy and like working at Panera, and then I was like going to festivals all the time, and then I was working a second job too. So it was like I would get off late at night and then go to the bar after that, and then like get super drunk and then go home, and basically was like 5 years of my life.
Yeah.
Of
where
me
you
doing
were
that.
Basically drinking festivals, Panera.
Yeah. Eat Panera every day. Yeah. So dating this like guy that I didn't know what I was doing, like why I was with him, but I was just there because I became comfortable. And then like something weird happened where I was just like, oh my God, I'm so not into him anymore. This is weird. And then I just like went off the deep end basically and started like getting crazy. Like I would go out and like drink with these people and then drive myself home, and then he would be awake but I wouldn't remember it, and then like I would wake up like in the dog bed, or like I would wake up like in the shower with the water running, and I had probably had been like that for a long time, and then I was just like, wow, this is horrible and I don't know what's going on, but I'm just gonna keep doing this.
I mean, is this a behavior that you saw like with your mother?
It could have been for sure. I mean, that is how she acted.
Okay.
She was actively that way when I was with her.
Okay.
I mean, so it could have been a learned behavior that came out later in life. I don't know.
And so like, you know, during that period, like, you know, it sounds like it was out of control.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, especially driving and...
Yeah. I like met a person in my life, randomly one night. I went to this like event down in the Short North with my friends and like randomly met this person, and I did not know this at the time, but they were like a severe alcoholic to like a level that I wasn't even at, like waking up and drinking every day,
every morning.
Like we would wake up at 8 a.m. and he would start drinking again, but I like spent like a solid year just like hanging out with this kid like hard.
Gotcha.
And it like made my life so hard.
Yeah.
Looking back on it, it was terrible.
Well, misery loves company.
Yeah. And he was miserable and it made me miserable.
Oh.
It was a year of just us being like totally just in the gutter together.
Yeah. And were you guys dating or were you guys like together?
We were just like friends. Okay. Yeah. And I would just hang out at his house like all the time, and like we would go to concerts together, and like we would get like super high together. We would like have all his friends over and do a bunch of cocaine all night and like drink all night, and it was like just weird and nuts.
Yeah,
it was a nuts thing.
And so I mean, was the hardest drug that you ever did was like cocaine?
I mean, I don't know, I probably, I mean, I guess the festival scene is very,
it has
a lot of that.
Has it all.
It has all things,
right.
So I mean, I've done a little bit of everything probably.
Yeah.
So and that's just from doing that and being in that scene for years.
Yeah.
So.
And at the time, did you feel out of control?
During.
Like, I mean, you know, when you're going to the festivals and you're using like these different drugs and stuff, I mean, did you feel out of control or did it feel just like normal?
It felt normal because all of my friend group was doing it.
Okay.
And it was, I think that like looking back on it, I was looking for like, because, you know, like, in that scene, people are very into, like, enlightenment.
Right.
Finding your path.
Right.
Knowing your inner self.
Yeah.
Like, the love and light thing is, like, a huge thing behind that. And so those people that I was friends with, that is what they were looking for, too.
They were trying to find it through drugs.
Through that. Yeah, that was the avenue, you know. And, it, like, at the time, I thought that that was how you achieve that. So I basically was just like, I'm down for anything.
Let's do it.
I'm about to be enlightened. I'm going to get so enlightened right now. So that was like a lot of it. So I did that for a long time. Yeah. And
so, like, so when did you actually know that you had a problem?
It was when I started hanging out with that guy.
Okay.
Because shortly after that, like, my best friend, she like was like, I'm worried about you. And I was like, why? Like, I'm totally in control of this. I was like, I get to dictate the terms of all of this. And she's like, no, like, you're not. Like, you're super just denying all of this. You, something's wrong. You're acting weird. And I just was in total denial about it.
Well, addiction is the disease of denial.
Yeah, really. For sure.
Yeah.
And yeah, her telling me that was the first like moment where I was like, that is probably correct, but I'm just going to ignore that. Because I'm having fun.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just like went on like that for like a year or a year and a half.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so what made you like want to change paths? Like what was the event or the series of events that you were like, you know what, I don't want to live that way anymore?
This like sounds goofy, but it was when I started working at Whole Foods.
Okay.
So I got this job at Whole Foods. Totally randomly. I actually had a really like a good job working in a doctor's office before that, but I hated it because I hate sitting down all day. That is like horrible for me.
Yeah, I struggle with it too.
Yeah, so I was like, I like really like working in kitchens. I've done that for a long time. I'm just gonna go get like a kitchen job at Whole Foods. And so I got this job there and I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Started meeting these actually nice people that like, at this point, now that they're like my family, I guess. And then I think like at that time was when I was like, okay, I'm in this terrible relationship. I'm cutting this off now. I'm done with this. Like, I'm out of this. It's done.
Yeah.
I stopped hanging out.
And this is the relationship with that, with the guy.
With that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but while I was hanging out with that guy, I was still dating my boyfriend.
Oh.
But he didn't know like anything about this other guy. It was like a secret. I was living like two lives basically.
Oh man, that's hard.
It was weird.
Yeah.
It was a terrible moment for me. Because I even went by like a different name.
Okay.
It was very weird.
All right. You a different name with that other guy?
Yes. Oh. He knew my name and all like everything about me, but he called me something totally different.
Okay. It was like a pet name or something?
He called me Ivy.
A nickname? What?
Ivy.
Ivy.
That's what he called me.
Okay.
It's like, that's what my bar name used to be when I would go to bars.
Okay.
And that's how I introduced myself to him.
Interesting.
So yeah, it was weird. But yeah, so I got out of like all of those like bad connections.
Yeah.
I like broke up with the boyfriend, stopped hanging out with the other person, started working at Whole Foods. And then, like, I met all these really genuine people there, and some that weren't as well, but that's just how it is. And they were just amazing. Like, something about, like, all of those people, and they're a lot of them very authentic people.
Sure.
That I was just like, wow, this is, like, nuts. All these people are awesome, and I don't want to be, like, super drunk all the time now, like, only half the time. This is so cool. And then I worked there for like a long time, and then I met my partner there.
Mm-hmm.
She like worked in the kitchen with me just randomly. Like, we met at the interview.
She was interviewing you, or
she was
trying to get a job?
We were like in a group interview together.
Oh.
And we met there. And then we both randomly got hired, like without knowing that the other one got hired. We showed up to the training because we opened the East End store together.
Oh, that's cool.
And then we were just like, oh my God, you're here. Awesome. This is so great. I remember you from the interview. I'm just going to hang out with you the whole time. And so we just like had this like instant like connection, I guess, that was like really amazing. And that has been like the coolest part about working there, I guess, is that like I feel like meeting her and meeting like certain other people, like I know I'm gonna carry them like through my lifetime.
Yeah.
So like meeting her, she is just such like a very like a special person. I don't know how to explain it. She's like otherworldly for me.
Okay.
Because she's like so sweet and she's like the nicest person I've ever known, basically. I don't know how to say it any other.
That's what you look for in a partner, though.
Yeah, right? She's like the most caring person. She's like selfless. She would like literally do anything for me, and I've never had someone that would do that. It's always been like very one-sided in my relationships because like I'm a caregiver.
Right.
Like I am a person that tries to take care of other people. And she just, I don't know, like she is a magical person.
Yeah.
And so, she was in a horrible toxic relationship and then like we both were basically just like, all right, we're like gonna get ourselves out of these terrible relationships and just like date each other. So then we like started dating and then I like was still drinking like a lot during that and she didn't really drink at all.
So she was part of like the reason why you started changing things.
100%. Yeah, basically I think that if I had not met her, I would be in the same like negative pattern. But like we would at first, like when we first started hanging out, we would go out to concerts and like drink. Like she would drink when I would, but she would drink like a beer.
Yeah.
She has great self-restraint. But I would get like blackout drunk.
Yeah.
And that was probably like the first 6 months we were together.
So she took care of you.
She totally took care of me. Yeah. And I needed that. Like, yeah. And then I like started having this realization like after I had been working at Whole Foods for like a year or so and I was like, wow, like this really sucks that I'm doing this to her. I feel like really guilty. And then that's when I started getting close to Kaylee.
Yeah.
Because she is a bartender at work. So I would clock out and sit at the bar at work and Kaylee would be back there. And then I would sit and talk to Kaylee for like 4 hours after work and I would just drink the entire time. And then Shauna would like take me home. It was like a terrible cycle for a little while. But it was actually ended up being a good thing.
Yeah. But it's, the crazy thing is like you're a caregiver and I know that about you, but like you were being taken care of.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. So I mean, that just like, for me, as I look at that, and when someone like describes themselves as a caregiver, and at that point in time, you were not a caregiver. You were like taking the care.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she was your caregiver.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to hear that because I mean, I know you as like a caring person and I would think like you would be helping someone else. And so to see the contrast is like pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that definitely like got our like love for each other made it like very strong.
Yeah.
We have like a very special bond, so.
It's so great.
Yeah.
So what? Cool. So why did, you know, you're doing all these healthy behaviors and she's helping you and like you start changing these patterns. Like why did yoga come into the picture?
Yoga came into the picture because I was sitting at the bar one day and Kaylee was across from me and I think that Lori had invited her,
yeah.
Like someone else that...
I think Lori told me that she invited Kayla like maybe like 20 times.
Yeah. So like on the 20th time, Kaylee was like, hey, like, will you do this with me? Like, I'm going to do this intro class in January. It's December. I'm buying mine today. She's like, will you do this? Because like previously, like... Right before that is when I had been like, wow, I'm like really screwing my life up. Like I need to start getting my act together just because like I have something that is motivating me to do that. Like this job and like my partner and like my friends.
Yeah.
And I was just like, yeah, I was like, whatever, I'll totally do it. I was like, I've done yoga before and it is not my thing, but I will totally do this with you.
Okay.
So we like bought our intro class passes and then went to the first like class on like January 4th or something.
Yeah.
And Danielle was doing our intro class, which was awesome because like Danielle's just so amazing. She's such a special person.
She's awesome.
I know, I just love her so much.
Yeah, me too.
And like I feel like the first time we were there that day, like afterward, Kaylee and I just sat there like on the floor and talked to her for like 30 minutes after everyone else had left or something.
Right.
And I was just like, wow, this is like so cool. She's like super into this. I get it. It's her thing. Like she is going to India. That's so cool. Like, she understands what's happening. And, like, we had done, like, the first two sun salutations, maybe.
Right.
And then we started going to the, like, night moves classes, okay. I think, that week at some point. And then it just kind of, like, kept happening.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Just kept happening.
It just kept happening.
Yeah.
That's it. Because Danielle's pretty special.
Yeah.
So, well, and so why did it work for you? I mean, how did it make you replace new behaviors? Or was it just because, like, Danielle was so enthusiastic about it?
It was partially that. Because she just, like, is such, like, a strong person or something. She, like, in that light, like, as a new student, having her teach me, I was like, this woman is the strongest woman in the world. She is, like, so, like, her passion behind it made me want to keep coming to it, I think. And also having, like, a friend going was very motivational.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that, like, Danielle's passion behind it, like, kept me going for a while. Like, the first month, probably. Because mm-hmm. the first month I was there, I had just went at night.
Yeah. And so did you replace the drinking at the bar with going to yoga?
Not initially.
So you were drank before yoga?
No, I would always go after.
Oh, drank after.
I would go after.
Like sensible people.
Yeah, duh.
I would have totally drank before.
Yeah, I think I did like
and
one
time. I never went to yoga.
Yeah, I did actually sit at the bar and have like two beers one time and then I went.
It's terrible.
And it was horrible.
It's so bad.
Oh my God, and Amber was there that night and I was like, number one, she knows I'm drunk right now. Number two, I have zero stability and I'm super falling everywhere.
Yeah.
This is not, never do this again. And then I never did it again.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lesson learned.
I know. So,
that's like not, you know, an alcoholic of like my, you know, like disposition. It would have took me like maybe a year to learn that lesson.
Yeah.
You learned it on the first time.
I know, because it was embarrassing. I was like embarrassed because I was like, she knows I'm drunk.
Well,
right now.
Everything comes out of your pores.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're eating meat, it comes out. If you're taking medication, it comes out. Mm-hmm. If you're drinking or if you drank the night before.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll walk up the stairs sometimes and I'll be like, who had like rum and cokes last night?
Oh, God.
You know, or who? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
I believe that.
It's brutal sometimes.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, they're there. Everyone's there for a different reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people are trying to save their lives. You know, some people are drinking. It's not a problem for them, but the yoga, like, gives them the clarity that they need in order to operate in their lives and stuff.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. And so, does it help you stay sober today? I mean, are you sober today?
So, I am.
Awesome.
I think that the cool thing is, like, and, like, I had this awesome conversation with a coworker recently about this because she's also surprisingly, but she is like a surprising person that like popped up and she's like, yeah, I've been sober for 45 days. And I'm like, no way, that is nuts.
You need to bring her to yoga.
Like, and she's actually a yoga person. We're trying.
Yeah.
We'll get her there. But like, I was like, no way, that is nuts. I never thought that would happen because I sat at the bar with you like so many nights and like just, it was nuts. And she's like, you know, the cool thing about like sobriety I'm learning is that like everybody has their own, like sobriety is what you allow it to be.
Right.
And like, she's not like a 12-step person. I'm not a 12-step person. Not to say that like she hasn't, I don't know what her, you know, method is or whatever, but that was like really good for me to hear, I think, because I was like, I'm not going to any meetings, this is horrible, I know I need to go to meetings, I have to. And I'm like, I just like have gone to one meeting and it was not comfortable.
Yeah.
And I don't want to, it made me not want to go back.
Yeah.
So like talking to her about it and like realizing that like sobriety is your own thing basically.
Sure.
Was really nice for me to hear because no one had ever told me that.
Yeah. I mean, I totally hear what you're saying. And I did sobriety just how you described. And I lost all of those liberties because I could not stay sober.
Yeah.
And so I had to like, I had to get like as rigid as I could possibly get.
Yeah.
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 And so I had to like commit myself to meetings and therapy and all that stuff. And it's true. Like everyone's like path is like is different. I couldn't stop drinking and using. Like, I mean, I was just gonna die. And I had that clarity, and it was like, oh, that the big shift was like, all right, I'll just listen to whatever this person, my sponsor, told me to do.
Sure.
So yeah, everyone's path is different. It's pretty cool because also the, you know, like treatment nowadays is different. Like yoga is a huge part of it.
Yeah.
Where like when I was trying to get sober, like yoga was not even anywhere near. Mm-hmm. It was like yoga was still taboo. It was like 12 years ago. It's like no one even wanted to go to yoga.
Yeah.
So
right.
Or use it as a means for, you know, helping yourself recover and stuff.
Yeah, for sure. I believe that.
And so how did you feel when you walked into yoga compared to how you feel like now that you're 6 months in or 5 months in? Actually more than that. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More, you're 8 or 9 months into yoga.
Yeah,
right?
I think it would be like eight.
8 months?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so what's the difference?
I think that like walking in initially, it was work. Like I walked in there like looking for a workout.
Yeah.
And that's what it was for like the first 2 or 3 months I was there. I was like there working out. That was my workout.
So it was a fitness class.
It was fitness. You know, because that's like, I don't know. It felt like fitness because it was really hard.
It
like,
is hard, isn't it?
It's so hard.
So hard.
Like, and especially when you like walk in there and you're like hungover or like you drank like 12, 13% IPAs the night before and somehow didn't die. And then you walk in the yoga the next morning. You're like, wow, this is really hard. Like, this is work. Literally, it feels like I'm working right now.
Yeah.
So that's like how I felt for probably like the first, like solidly the 3 months, like first 3 months. And now it does not feel like that. Now it is like I feel like when I don't go, it sets my day up for like failure almost. Not I mean, like not
you are
that
there every single day.
I am now, but
you're
it took
there
me
every
like 5 months
day.
To get there every day.
It didn't take you that long.
It feels like I literally just started coming every day last week. So I think it's because like one day you looked at me and you were like, listen, this will get way easier if you just commit yourself to coming. And I was like, ooh, burn, you're right. That's harsh.
I said that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was literally with like that kind of tone. You were like, if you just came every day, this would be way easier. And I was just like, all right.
And is it?
Oh my God, yeah. It's so much easier to come every day. Like I'm not sore. Like I am sore, but like...
Right. You have that big jolt of like, oh, you don't show up 3 days in a row, and then you show up, you're so sore after.
Yes, yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah,
yeah. And so, I like, what about your day though? You know, like, does it make the rest of your day easier because the yoga was hard?
It makes the rest of my day more. It does make it easier. Because it keeps me like grounded.
Yeah.
I feel like the days that I don't go are the days that I struggle. Just with like being anxious, or when I'm at work, if I didn't go that like before I go to work, it will make my day very hectic, and scattered.
Yeah.
And like so much so to the point now where like people can tell. Like my coworkers that know me really
they're
well,
like,
they're like,
"You didn't go to yoga.
You didn't. It's okay. Yeah,
it's okay. Go take a time out.
Yeah, you're gonna need to go get a coffee real quick because you're being catty." And I'm like, "Okay, you're probably right. So I am gonna take a time out. Yeah. So it's like getting like that at this point. So, but yeah, like for the first 3 months, it was very hard because I was still drinking very heavily then.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it was like nuts. And like, I think like 3 months in is like, I had this like moment at work where I got like super drunk at the bar and I was sitting there talking to this other person who is also a bartender. And they had like overserved me by like a ton, like a lot. And I was sitting there and then like walked out to my car. I like barely remember this. It was like on the Super Bowl, like for the Super Bowl, I was sitting there. And they, I got, like, asked about it at work the next day. Because, like, they have like a maximum they're allowed to serve team members, and they had like really overserved me. Mm-hmm. I like tried to drive myself home, but like I couldn't because I was too drunk. So I just like pulled into this parking lot and like fell asleep there for like hours, and no one knew where I was.
Oh, wow.
And then I like woke up, called off of work the next day because I was super hungover and embarrassed that that happened. And then the day that I went back, my team leaders were like, hey, so we just want to make sure you're okay because this thing happened and we know it happened. And then you called off of work. So we're just concerned about you. And I was like, oh my God, this is my moment. This is my moment where I know this is really affecting my life because I am getting asked about it at work. This is so embarrassing. And then I was like, all right, well, time to get serious about myself. Yeah. So I think that was when like I started to actually put more effort toward going like to yoga every day.
And so you do yoga, but how else do you take care of yourself?
At this point in my life, I think the other ways, I mean, just like living extremely mindfully, I think is like the biggest way that I can take care of myself and do, because I was not a mindful liver before. Like putting intention behind all the things that I do is very important to me, and having like a reason why I'm doing something.
Right.
It's just like literally I'm like, okay, I'm about to eat a brownie. Why am I eating this brownie? Because it's delicious. You're allowed. Go ahead. Yeah. You know, or like, you know, like you can give yourself liberties like that, but like I just have to check in with myself all the time, I guess.
Yeah.
So I think that's like the biggest way I take care of myself.
Okay.
Just like being super mindful. And I mean, you know, I just like love drinking juice. So I drink a ton of juice. There's that. Right. Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about the Trini Foundation. Like, how did you hear about, you know, like how did that, you know, because I got your application, I read your application, and I also saw that you had done the intro class. I think I met you like maybe once or twice by that point. And so you filled out your application to get a scholarship and stuff, and you basically like poured your heart out to us.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like emotional for me to read it.
Yeah.
Because you totally convinced me that you needed it.
Yeah. I did need it.
Yeah.
I needed it. Like, and the funny thing is like, I know it happened right after that incident at work where I got asked if I was okay. I know, I can't remember the exact dates, but I know it happened right after that.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is that I'm pretty sure I was like, I had drink before I submitted the application. Like, because I actually like work a second job one day a week.
Right.
But I have a gap in between, like an hour and a half between Whole Foods and the other job. So like I used to go to a bar in between and drink and then go into the other job. So I'm pretty sure that I was like sitting there, I probably had had a couple drinks, and then I was like, it's like a receptionist job, so there's not like a ton to do. So I think I was like looking at the AYC website, and then somehow like just stumbling through, like found the Trini Foundation stuff. And I don't even know if at that point I knew anything like about the Trini Foundation or about like your story or anything like that. And then I was just like, oh my God, I didn't know this was here. I'm going to read about this. This is so cool. And then I was just like, okay, I'm submitting this right now. I'm on the clock and I'm submitting this. I'm emailing them now.
Yeah.
And then I think, I definitely did that while I was at work. And then I think Jess emailed me the next day, maybe, or a couple days later.
And then I think I talked to you at the studio and told you things were...
It was actually during the addiction forum, I think, is when you said something to me, because they were all about to come in as we were all leaving.
Gotcha.
And you were like, hey, you got it. And I was just like, okay, right. I'm so scared. It's like, cool, thanks.
But you got like, you got committed to it. You know?
Yeah.
And you know, with all of like the assistance and the support of like teachers, like you are the actual person that is... like done all the work, you know, like we might be like pointing you in certain directions or whatever, but you've done all the work, you know, and that's huge for someone whose life was festivals and blackout drunks and all of, you know,
yeah.
where like you're losing it.
Yeah.
to all of a sudden, like, still doing the festivals, but, like, now you're centered and focused.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like living empowered, isn't it?
Oh, truly, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, what do you want to do with your life? It's like, well, you can do anything.
Yeah.
You just have to put your mind to it, just like how you put your mind to...
Yeah.
To yoga.
I never gave myself, like, enough... I never valued myself enough to, like, give myself that empowerment, I think. Yeah. Until, like, super recently when I was just, like, I need to get real with yeah. what's going on in my life, so... Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, from like a bird's eye view, you know, like I know that you work hard in the room. Like I know how, you know, I've seen the change firsthand, you know, like I've got to witness all of this, you know, like I didn't know how bad it was. Like this is the first I've heard about really all of this.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to see all of this change, I mean, that is what the Trinity Foundation is trying to do. We're trying to help people like yourself, you know,
yeah.
so... you know, we're trying to give back. That's our whole thing. It's
yeah.
like giving back because, you know, I told you where I was and we don't want you to be there. Like, we don't want you to have enough material to write a 300-page memoir.
Yeah.
We don't want you to have
yeah.
that. We want it to be different for you.
Yeah.
And for everyone else too.
I'm thankful for that. It definitely like has pushed me into a different direction for sure.
Yeah.
So I will... forever be thankful for that. And like yeah. now the caregiver part of me is like, how do I repay these people? What can I do next for them? So
yeah.
just let me know.
You don't know this anything. Yeah, just keep doing the work.
Thank you.
So, well, I want to thank you for being on the show and mm-hmm. sharing your heart and your story. And you know, like I said, it's been amazing to watch the whole like thing unfold, because like watching it from one aspect to the, you know, to the next chapter, really, of what you're doing is pretty powerful. Not only for me, but I think for the people that are in Ashtanga Yoga Columbus too. They've seen it, you know, they've seen it too.
Cool.
So,
well, thank you.
Yeah. So thanks for being on the show.
Yeah. Thanks.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. If you want more information about Ashtanga Yoga, visit AshtangaYogaColumbus.com. You can also check out my website, which is TaylorHuntYoga.com. See you guys next time.